Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Tarot International. The Tarot trainers are experts in helping you and your business to achieve, lead, and outclass in every situation. Learn more at tero.com.
Welcome back to Insight on Business, the News Hour. Grateful that you are listening from wherever on the planet you happen to be. We're going to be talking about journalism with a journalist. How about that? We're not guessing about these kinds of things. This is a guy that has really cut his chops in several different places, several different markets, and moving on to new adventures. His name is Ty Rushing. You may know him if you live in Northwest Iowa, for sure, around the Sioux City area. He is with us at the Writer's Workshop. It is the Okoboji Writer's Retreat in Okoboji. And I followed him on social media for some time, and my first question is going to be about West Wing. I don't know how in the hell, Ty Rushing, did you have enough time to sit and watch all the episodes of West Wing?
Well, I haven't yet.
You haven't?
I'm only on season two.
Oh, okay.
And I took a little break just because, you know, that whole time issue. And then I had a friend who gave me some spoilers, like, unprompted. And it kind of, like, ruined the experience for me because, like, I've never seen the show.
You never saw it?
No. So this is, like, a whole new experience for me. And he ruined it.
Well, tell us about Ty Rushing. You're originally from Kansas City, Kansas.
Correct.
And as it is with most of us that are in the journalism profession, it is kind of a wanderer's life, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Tell me about it.
Well, so I had no idea how to get my first journalism job. I didn't know what you wanted to do. My goal and dream was to write for the Kansas City Star and cover the Kansas City Chiefs and the Kansas City Royals. Well, I was like, well, how do I even get a newspaper job? And so I had a professor at UMKC, the University of Missouri, Kansas City, tell me, well, you know, you can't just walk into a big paper like
right.
that. You need to cut your chops in smaller papers. I was like, okay, cool. Where do I find a smaller paper? And so he told me to go to journalismjobs.com. I was browsing through the openings, and I saw one in Newton, Iowa for the Newton Daily News.
There you go.
It was a five-day-a-week daily, had a website. You know, they were trying to grow their social media. And I was like, all right, this seems like a good opportunity. I applied for it. I did an interview with the editor, managing editor, and publisher, which, you know, is a good sign. And then next thing I know, I got an offer. And so a few weeks before my graduation, I was like, all right, I'm moving to Iowa.
You got a job.
Got a job. One shot.
And, you know, and you didn't even have the diploma in your hand yet, and you got a job.
Got a job.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I know. It was pretty sweet.
Newton, Iowa, and we're familiar with that. That's in central Iowa. And a paper that was a daily.
Yep.
At the same time. So then what? Did you land your sports gig?
No. It was kind of funny. So they had just filled their sports position with a friend of mine who became a friend of mine named Dustin Turner, who was from San Diego. And so they told me, hey, we're going to have you cover education, agriculture, and a few more beats. And I was like, agriculture, okay. You know, young black guy from Kansas City who's never been on the farm is going to write about agriculture, but all right. And then with education, I'll never forget the interview. I was like, oh, okay, sure, I can go to the schools. How many high schools are there in the town? And the phone went silent.
Right. One.
Yeah, and that was the answer before somebody was like, one. And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah,
okay. Well, so I have enough time to do education.
Yeah, yeah.
And agriculture.
Oh, yeah. Then I ended up adding county supervisors, veterans affairs, and probably some other stuff that I'm forgetting. I also did a weekly column. So that's like the fun part about, like, you know, smaller newspapers. You're going to do everything.
Yeah, and you get to almost pick your lane in a lot of areas. Yeah, you're assigned to these things. But I suspect, just from what you said, courting the county supervisors, that started you down a path into politics?
No, I like local government. Like, I consider local government. I know local government is technically falls under the umbrella of politics,
sure.
But it doesn't feel as political as DC stuff. Like, you know, with local government, like, these people have to get stuff done,
right?
You know, they have to get stuff done, and their constituents can hold them far more accountable because, you know what? You're going to see your city councilman at the grocery store. You're going to see your mayor at church. You're going to see, you know, your school board members at the basketball game. And so, like, I love, like, covering that level of government and just watching it and learning so much more about the communities through it.
Ty Rushing is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's an accomplished journalist, even at a young age. He has been training his chops in various places around the state. And then you made a case and you headed to, what, Sioux City?
No.
So, okay, back yeah. up.
Okay, so I was in my second year in Newton. I got promoted to senior staff writer. And I remember my first year, we were at the Iowa Newspaper Association Awards. Right. And my editor at the time, like the Northwest Iowa Review, was just winning all the awards. And I was like, who are these people? Because like, I was maybe a month into my time in Iowa. And my editor's like, Ty, that's the Northwest Iowa Review. If you ever get a chance to work there, you should do it. So, you know, it's my second year in Iowa. I'm still at the Newton Daily News, senior staff writer. And, you know, I'm starting to look around for other opportunities. And I see a staff writer position open at the Northwest Iowa Review. Yeah. So I'm like, well, that's a good sign.
Right?
So I applied for the job, made the drive up to Sheldon. And at the time, I still had Sprint. And I couldn't get phone service up there. And I was like, oh, goodness, where is this at? But I was so excited about the prospect of working for that company and that paper because, like, I saw what they could do.
What is it that they do that's so magical?
Well, the Northwest Iowa Review is the one of the largest weekly newspapers in the country, and it is the largest weekly in Iowa. And each issue is basically like a Sunday Metro paper with multiple sections, full-color photos, you know, like hard-hitting opinion pages, great news coverage, coverage about the different schools that they cover. I mean, and it's basically like the USA Today for the four-county Northwest Iowa area.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So I was very excited about joining that team. And I was there for 2 years, and then I got recruited to go to the Sioux City Journal to be the business reporter.
Well, that whole idea about going to Sioux City to be a business writer, was that something that you wanted to do, or is that something that you had to grow into?
So I've always loved writing about businesses and, like, you know, how things affect each other. Right. And, you know, like, I mean, because especially once you learn about agriculture and how everything in Iowa's economy involves ag somehow. Like, even if the business is not a direct ag business, it somehow ties back to ag in some way. Like, I mean, trucking, for example, you know,
sure.
You know, just like a small example. And so I like the prospect of being able to cover the business community from a tri-state perspective, because I always look at your coverage area as your playground. And so for me, it was like, holy crap, I get to do stuff in Iowa, Nebraska, and South Dakota. And I was like tantalized by the prospect.
Yeah. And parts of those states, in various parts of those states, Dakota Dunes, for example, you know, comes to mind as a very wealthy place.
Yes.
And there's some tax advantages in South Dakota. And I know businesses that have relocated their headquarters to that part of the country just to escape some of the tax implications that are currently in Iowa. What did you learn about business as being a business writer?
Wow, that is fat. That's a great question. Well, I learned to with a lot of family businesses that's how they get their money. That's how they keep their money, is by keeping it within the family. And then I just learned about like how everything impacts everything, and then how the everyone's talking about the worker shortages now, and they're blaming the federal unemployment benefits and things like that. And guess what? The worker shortages have been going on for a long time. You look at the unemployment rate in Northwest Iowa, it's been low for a long time. What's happening now is we're just getting a new scapegoat. You know, it's been an issue, and the problem is we need people. We need bodies. That's what's going to solve the worker shortages in Iowa. But, you know, most people don't want to look at that. They just want to say, oh, people are being lazy. And it's like, that's not the case. If you actually speak to people, some folks are trying to get jobs and seeking jobs. Or then we also have a lack of childcare. So, like, all of these different things impact that. Like, there are so many mitigating factors into why some people aren't working or can't work. But we don't want to look at the big pictures. We just want to call them lazy and say they're getting a handout.
Right. We just had Dave Swenson, an Iowa State University economist, on with this. And we were talking about this very thing. The general population would say, and business organizations say, hey, look, these people have gotten all this, they've gotten fat and lazy because they're getting these unemployment checks and they're not working. Well, guess what? States like Iowa and others reduced those unemployment checks, and they're still not going
exactly
back to work.
Exactly. I mean, it might have been the either the July or August unemployment report for the state. Right. But I believe we had like 70,000 open jobs and only 67,000 workers, you know? So, you know, I'm no math whiz, but that tells me that we need more people.
Well, and then we look at the 2020 census numbers, and Iowa did grow.
It grew, but a smidge.
Yeah, right. Just a smidge, and in the urban areas.
Right.
So, yeah, we've got a lot of issues out there, and it's not just unemployment. You know, I'm a business writer and reporter, and we're seeing this not just in Iowa, but all over the country. People are walking away from their jobs. We just had a story on that the other day. There is something out there called ghosting coasting. Ghosting coasting is where somebody will pick up a job for a couple of days and then quietly leave without even notifying their employer and go on to something better and bigger.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's a thing. And so we're having all these issues. And it's like, and you're a business writer, you have been for a long time. You look at this and what do you tell business? I mean, you're reporting. Do you ever say, oh, wait a minute. Have you ever considered this, or is that out of the wheelhouse of a journalistic reporter?
Well, sometimes you got to say, okay, what are you paying?
Right.
You know, there was like an ice cream shop on the ice on the eastern side of the state that, you know, one of our congressional reps was like, oh, they're closing their location down because they can't get enough workers. And I was like, okay, I was just curious. So, like, I went to go look to see, you know, if they had any employment offerings open. They did. The job was paying $10 an hour full time, and that was with experience. So if you're paying $10 an hour full time with experience, you're going to have a hard time finding workers. Like,
yeah.
You know, everyone wants to boast about, you know, capitalism until it impacts them.
Yeah. One of the issues, and this has been the thing that's been roundabout. I'm so grateful for your business experience because I think you get this stuff. Yeah, the big thing was, if we raise wages, that means the price of goods and or services are going to have to go up dramatically. And that Big Mac that cost $5 is now going to be $10 because we're paying $15, $16, $17 an hour. But that's not even accurate because we're talking about scale.
Right. And not only that, the price is going to go up anyway. You know, this whole little inflation thing that happens,
yeah.
You know, prices go up every year. I mean, someone made a viral tweet a couple of days ago about how they remember being a kid and you can get 4 bags of chips for a dollar, you know, because they're 25 cents a piece. And now those same little bags of chips are like, you know, 60 cents.
Right.
Things are going to go up in price. It just happens. That's the world we live in.
And the amazing thing about that, and we were just having this conversation the other day in agriculture about a box of cornflakes. You know, the price of corn continues to go up, sometimes. But the amount of corn in a box of cornflakes is minimal, but yet that price goes up. And so the producer, the agriculturalist, necessarily is not getting the money. Nor, you know, I guess we could talk about a whole host of people that where large agribusinesses or other businesses are getting the goodie while the producer doesn't
get shortchanged.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I believe one of the Beths brought this up yesterday. I can't remember which one because they both have H last names. She mentioned that like farmers used to get 37 cents per dollar for, you know, the work they're doing. And now it's about 15 cents.
Right.
And that's crazy. And then someone said you need at least 1,000 acres to like make a good profit. And that's, I don't know if you've seen the land values in Northwest Iowa, but if you got 1,000 acres, that's
a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
But it's a lot of money in land.
Right. Cool, because that's the thing about farming. You know, you're asset rich, but you're cash poor.
Exactly. And that's happening all over the country. And the only answer to that is to get big and bigger and bigger.
Bigger and bigger and bigger. And then you're swallowing up your neighbors. And, you know, it's.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know.
And if you're swallowing up your neighbors, guess what? They're moving out of those rural communities.
Ty Rushing, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. We're talking about the world of business. He spent some time with the Sioux City Journal covering that beat. And I want to switch gears here just a moment because recently you've joined another team.
Absolutely, yes.
And that team is?
Iowa Starting Line. I came on as the editor in July.
Yeah, congratulations.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
I know Patrick well and that whole crew. It's been through several iterations. And, you know, it's a political basic basically political thing. Hardcore politicos are in Iowa for sure. Are reading that. Went through a heyday with all of those candidates that were bustling through the state of Iowa in the 2019-2020 cycle. Well, what is it that you hope to do there?
That's a great question. Well, like, you know, right now we're trying to build up our team.
Yeah.
You know, that's the big thing. We want to build up our team, and then we want to start going for some more of these long-term projects. You know, we want to develop some new audiences. And most importantly, we want to get good information in front of people.
Mm.
That's the big thing, you know, because so many people are getting their news just through social media and social media alone. And so we want to target some of those people and, you know, put valuable local information in front of them, like things that are factually correct.
What?
Yeah, I know. It's shocking.
Get out of here,
but
man.
We want to break into some of those echo chambers and get some of those people who are just like, maybe they only see what their friends and family post on Facebook, but they're like kind of questioning it. And so we want to get that good information in front of them.
Yeah.
It's a tall task.
Yeah, it is a tall task because we are all, it seems to be, in echo chambers. And we rely on the news or the information that we agree on. Outside of politics, I mean, you know, the fractionalization of everything is really an issue. You have a really active social media presence, and I follow. That's where we first met. What to your mind? What makes a good social media presence for a journalist?
So many journalists, they just share links to their stories, and they don't really engage, and that's the problem. I mean, it's maybe not a problem. Maybe that's how they prefer it, but I engage with people. I'll have conversations with them. And then I'm not afraid to show my personality. And so many people, you have no idea what they're like. And I'm sure they like being the person behind the scenes who just writes the stories and then shares the links and, you know, move on with their day. But I want questions about that. And I think it helps make me tangible. Like, they see that I'm a real person, that I'm a real reporter. Like, oh, I exist. Like, you can actually talk to me. And so many people have told me, they, you know, like, because of my personality, they've enjoyed just, you know, reading my stuff. And then they're more willing to share information with me. You know, people will DM me all the time with story ideas or tips or things they think I should look into.
Right. Well, the idea, it's right in the title of what this is, social media.
Exactly.
And so to be social, you have to share something about yourself and engage the audience, because that's what's so important. And you do that really well, by the way.
It's funny, though, because like I give so much of myself out there that they know, people, my friends know exactly how to troll me. So like for yesterday, for example, you know, Randy Paulson, he was a staff writer under me at the Northwest Iowa Review when I was the managing editor there during my second stint.
Right.
You know, he tagged me in like this post about candy corn because he knows how much I detest candy corn. Like,
what? That's un-American.
Yeah. Oh, no. Candy corn is the devil. It is the devil. It is hardened earwax molded to look like corn kernels.
Ty Rushing, ladies and gentlemen. Now you get a glimpse of some of the fun stuff that that goes on. You're up here at the Yokoboji Writers Retreat. Why? What are you doing up here?
Well, you know, Julie kind of pitched this idea to me earlier this year, and I was excited. I mean, you know, you get to come out to Iowa's number one tourist destination and talk shop with a bunch of writers and you know, and just nerd out about writing, which how often do we get to do that? Right. How often do you get to spend a couple of days just talking about the process of writing and ways to improve at it and how to get better at it? And then just like, you know, there's so many other journalists up here too, so I've been able to geek out with them as well about covering news in Iowa specifically. And so it's just been a wonderful experience so far. I mean, you know, obviously we're at the start of the second day, but I'm loving every second of it.
Yeah, and this has been so successful. I know when Julie, we're talking about Julie Gamick, when Julie and I were talking about this opportunity for the first Yokoboji Writers Retreat, I thought, yeah, okay, maybe 50, 75 people are going to come.
Exactly. I thought the exact same thing. I was like, hey, I thought it was going to be like a more of an intimate thing. And don't get me wrong, it's still intimate with the amount of people we have here, but the fact that we have more than 100-something participants. Yeah,
150 people.
Yeah, and each table is just like so thoroughly engaged with the speaker. And I've just been having a great time. I mean, I've had people walk up to me after my sessions who weren't even at my sessions, and just like, wow, it looks like you guys were having fun.
Uh-huh. What is it that you think, Why are people so hungry to learn about the art of communication?
Well, communication, you know, for us, it's what we do every day. It seems simple, but it's not. It's really not. I mean, you have so many people who are so socially awkward or don't understand the power of great communication skills. And, you know, it's something that I think we take for granted as people who do it every day and for a living, where it's like other people are like, how do I get like that? How do I become like that? And, you know, when you're naturally, you know, when you're naturally blessed with communication skills, you don't think about it as much. But this is kind of a great opportunity for you to like think about it. Okay, how have I, you know, improved my skills, and what are some things that have helped me, and how can I transfer them on to you so that you may be able to use them for your own success as well?
One of the things that you can never, I don't think, teach, though, is being consistently curious.
That is such a great point, because I've had writers who may, or I've had journalists who maybe not be, they may not be the strongest, you know, writers, but I can coach you in writing. But if you're not curious, if you're not willing to ask those questions or, you know, look at something and wonder about it and try to get the answers to what this is or what it does or how this impacts you or how this impacts our community, then I can't do anything about that.
Yeah, it is. It's an amazing profession, and if you are blessed with communication skills, or you've learned those skills, and you have the ability to be curious, then the world is yours. Ty Rushing, thanks so much for visiting with us.
Oh, it's been an absolute pleasure. I'm glad we finally did this.
Once again, that's the voice of Ty Rushing. He is an accomplished journalist who has made his tracks around many Iowa communities, and now is with the Iowa Starting Line. He's a fantastic and talented young man who I met in person, finally, at the Okoboji Writers Retreat. Well, that's a wrap for today. Thanks so very much for joining us. For all of us that put this together each and every day, Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator. Sales and marketing, Aaron Libby. The voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks and for Ty Rushing, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a great day. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.